GovHarris to ask $50,000 for building at State Farm. The Atlanta Journal, Sunday, 25th of July, 1915, page 1, column 3. Special fund for individual cells and other improvements will be asked in message to General Assembly. Common sleeping room for convicts is opposed. Chief Executive finds other conditions generally at state prison are in good shape, he says, by Linton E. Starr, Journal staff correspondent. Milledgeville, Georgia, July 24th. Governor Nat E. Harris, in the special message he announced today following his investigations of conditions at the state prison that he would send to the legislature soon, will ask for a special appropriation of at least $50,000 for a new building here, for many individual cells, and improvements generally. While the governor has not made this announcement officially, stating that he preferred not to give out details of his message in advance, it is known this is in his mind. The governor was surprised to learn that convicts share a common sleeping room and that there are few facilities for separating desperate characters from mild-spirited convicts. He is firm in his convictions that improvements are imperative and intends to make his message to the legislature very strong and full of details and recommendations. He intends to guard as far as possible against a repetition of such occurrences as the attack on Leo M. Frank and the fight of two convicts yesterday, although he appreciates the fact that it is impossible to have a personal watch over every man. By putting in a number of cells, however, the governor believes the conditions can be greatly remedied. His intentions are to make recommendations calculated to bring prison conditions in the state up to the high standard expected of a state of Georgia's high standing, and before drafting his message, he probably will make a careful study of the conduct of prisons in other states. It is decided, however, in his opinion, that something must be done promptly to remedy matters, and that an appropriation of no mean size is necessary. "As far as I can see," said the governor, "things are here in splendid shape and are kept in fine style. Warden Smith and his assistants seem to be taking all pains to keep things sane and healthful. However, the place is no paradise." Governor Harris expects the state to save from $12,000 to $15,000 in making the improvements by using convict labor. At present, the legislature allows about $95,000 to care for the entire convict system of Georgia. In connection with today's investigation, it was pointed out that the particular appropriation for the prison here has remained practically at a standstill, whereas the number of convicts here has about doubled in the past 5 years. The other principal development in today's investigation by Governor Harris and members of the Prison Commission were the statement of William Crean, who slashed the throat of Leo M. Frank last Saturday night, to the effect that he tried to kill Frank because he believed that in so doing he would rid the state of a man whose presence here invited an attack on the prison with consequent loss of life. The statement of Governor Harris in response to the plea of Edgar Stripling's 6-year-old daughter, that he will pardon her father within the next 2 years. The statement of the governor is that he believes Warden Smith is conducting the prison satisfactorily and is not to be blamed for recent occurrences. Commendation of Warden Smith by the Baldwin County Grand Jury. Petition of the governor by practically every convict to pardon Dr. W.J. McNaughton, who saved Frank's life last Saturday night. Prison Commissioner's statement that Stripling's case probably will be taken up Monday week. The governor already is thoroughly familiar with the case and will act on it as soon as passed on to him by the commission. Following the inspection of the prison proper, the governor and officials went through adjacent buildings and the reformatory. They pronounced themselves pleased with the manner in which the various departments are being conducted. Governor Harris, General Nash, Commissioners Rainey and Patterson motored to Macon this afternoon and will reach Atlanta tonight at 8:30. Chairman Davidson motored to his home in Greensboro. Commissioners and prison officials are in a quandary as to what will be done with Crean, who already is serving a life term. They do not venture to guess. Frank is improving rapidly and apparently is past the danger line. He reiterated his innocence today, repeated the statement made when on the operating table, facing death, that he entertains no malice towards Crean. Frank asserted he would not recognize Crean should he see him. Frank's statement as to how he was attacked coincides precisely with accounts as given in the journal, to the effect that he was asleep, and Crean crept upon him and cut his throat. Frank's hands pillowed his head as he slept, and he grabbed the knife, the result being a bad gash on his right hand. Frank's wound is healing rapidly. Mrs. Frank is still here and probably will be here for some time. "There isn't much for me to say," said Frank. "I have worked as hard and well as I could. I came here as the lowest grade prisoner and, of course, wore stripes. I have done the work of a menial and worked as best I could." Baldwin Grand Jury commends Warden Smith. Special dispatch to the Journal. Milledgeville, Georgia, July 24th. 18 of the 22 members of the Baldwin County Grand Jury, all who could be reached today, signed resolutions commending Warden James E. Smith of the prison. Stripling is promised pardon. Manotton may be freed also. Fate spins strange web around attack on Leo Frank at State Prison Farm at Milledgeville by Linton E. Starr, staff correspondent. Milledgeville, Georgia, July 24th. Promise of a pardon for one convict serving a life term on a murder charge. Hope of a pardon for another convict serving a life term on a murder charge as the result of a governor's investigation of an attack by a third convict serving a life term on a murder charge upon the life of a fourth convict serving a life term on a murder charge, such as the web that fate has woven at the Georgia State Prison Farm near this city. This morning, as Governor Nat E. Harris walked into the lobby of the main prison building, a little six-year-old girl with golden curls and tears in her bright blue eyes ran up to him and caught hold of his hand and said, "Governor Harris, won't you please let my papa out? Mama is sick, and we've got nobody to work for us." The governor reached down and lifted the child in his arms, and tears came into his eyes too, and he patted her on the cheek and said in a husky voice, "Tell your papa, baby, that I'm going to pardon him before my term expires. I can't say just when, but my term expires in 2 years, so it won't be so very long." And the little girl threw her arms around the old Confederate veteran's neck and hugged him and kissed him and asked him to put her down so she could run and tell her papa the great good news. Gently, the governor placed Bessie Lucille Stripling on her feet, and a few minutes later, her father, T. Edgar Stripling, once police chief of Danville, VA, was wild with rejoicing. After a time, he broke down completely and became delirious and screamed when spoken to, so that they had to take him away by himself and let no one see him. "Nerves are shattered. I am a physical wreck and my nerves are shattered," he cried, with tears running down his cheeks. "If the governor doesn't let me out in 60 days, I'm afraid it will be no use. My wife is sick, no work, no money. I can hardly believe the governor is going to pardon me. So many times I have hoped, and then my hopes were shattered. My daughter has hardly recovered from the effects of taking carbolic acid not long ago, grieving for me. I'm afraid she will try it again." In 1897, Stripling was convicted of the murder of J.B. Cornett and was sentenced to a life term at the State Prison Farm. 2 years later, he escaped. Under the name of R.E. Morris, he settled in Danville, Victor, joined the police force, moved his family there, and in the course of time was promoted to be chief of the police department. Something over 2 years ago, he was recognized by a Georgia man passing through Danville, was arrested and brought back to Georgia, and in spite of appeals to two governors, Brown and Slayton, was committed to the prison farm to serve the balance of his life. Today, his wife lives in Columbus, Georgia, with a grown daughter, Miss Annie Lee Stripling, who attempted suicide a few weeks ago. Another grown daughter, Miss Ruth Stripling, and little Bessie Lucille, live in Milledgeville near the prison farm, where they can see their father and cheer him in his gloom. Thus came to pass the promise of a pardon for convict number one in this strange quadrangle of fate. Plead for Manotton. Almost before little Bessie Lucille Stripling was out of sight on her way with the good news to Papa, three convicts were rushed into the lobby where the governor stood. Approaching him respectfully, they placed in his hands a petition for the pardon of Dr. W. J. McNaughton, signed by 137 of the 150 inmates of the prison. "The only reason we haven't got all the names, Your Excellency," they said, "is because we just started the petition last night and haven't had time to get around to them all." Inspired by Dr. McNaughton's prompt work in saving the life of Leo M. Frank when J.W. Crean cut his throat last Saturday night while Frank lay asleep on his cot, the prisoners started the appeal for executive clemency and signed their names to a petition, reciting Dr. McNaughton's innumerable kind ministrations to them. "Whenever we have been hurt, whenever we have been sick," they told the governor, "he has come to us and healed us and cured us, and always his smile has brightened our servitude." Again, moved to the depths of his big, warm heart, Governor Harris received the appeal from the men in stripes, asking mercy not for themselves but for a fellow convict, and promised them to give it full consideration. Dr. W. J. McNaughton, a prominent physician of Emanuel County and a widower, boarded at the home of Fred Flanders at Covina, Georgia, in that county, and on June 14, 1910, Flanders died. Wife was suspected. Suspicion arose against Dr. McNaughton and Flanders' wife. They were jointly indicted for murder on the charge that they had poisoned Flanders with arsenic. The trial of Mrs. Flanders was put off from time to time, and finally the case against her was nolle prost. Dr. McNaughton was tried, found guilty of murder, and sentenced to be hanged. He protested his innocence at every stage of the case. Feeling was so high against him among the dead man's friends that he was removed to the Chatham County Jail at Savannah for safekeeping. His lawyers appealed his case to the state Supreme Court and lost, appealed to the United States Supreme Court, appealed to the trial court for a new trial on the ground of newly discovered appeals. They asked the prison commission for a recommendation to executive clemency. R.E. Davison and E.L. Rainey of the prison commission voted for a full pardon. T.E. Patterson voted for commutation of sentence to life imprisonment. Governor Slayton adopted the latter recommendation, and Dr. McNaughton, in the fall of 1913, was sent to the state farm at Milledgeville to serve his sentence, and thus hope was raised for convict number two. From the McNaughton petition, the governor passed to the task that took him to the prison, the task of investigating J.W. Crean's attempt to kill Leo M. Frank by cutting his throat last Saturday night. Crean, whose home is in Columbus, Georgia, where Stripling's wife now lives, has killed two men, and in the second case is now serving a life term for murder. Leo M. Frank, probably the most famous prisoner in the United States, has served a little over 1 month of his life sentence on the charge of murdering Mary Fagan in the National Pencil Factory in Atlanta, April 26, 1913.